Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the Gospel through Mark, and we are now in the last chapter of this precious Gospel. You know, when I come to an end of a Gospel or an end of a book, I always feel like just starting all over again, because I feel we've barely scratched the surface of the revelation of the person of Christ in each book. It's a marvelous thing to know that the Bible is centered around the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember our Lord could say to the Jews of his day, and I quote from John chapter 5, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote concerning me. And whether you start in Genesis or go right on through Revelation, the one person that stands out all the way through is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is centered round him. Of course it must be. It must be. It was pleasing to God that he should be preeminent in all things. And you remember, he has been exalted to be Lord and Christ. Now, in our studies, we have just finished chapter 15. We've been just dealing with the crucifixion of our Savior and the import of it. And then we discussed the women who were standing afar off, watched the whole scene. My, how these women must have loved a Savior. I ask myself the question, where are the disciples? Where's Peter, James, and John, and the rest of them? But these women were watching from afar off, watching the one who was their Savior being crucified. And they noted where he was to be buried. And then from 42 to the end of chapter 15 to 47, we have the burial of our Lord. Now, you have a fuller account of this in Matthew's Gospel 27, starting at 57 through 66. And you have the story in memory of Joseph and Nicodemus. And by the way, you don't see these men again. Now, may I raise the question, if Jesus Christ is dead and buried, and that's the end of it, then, my friend, we're in a very, very bad plight. There's no hope for the world. There's no hope for creation. No resurrection. We haven't anything. No hope for humanity. And I might say this, if there's no resurrection, then God isn't good if the sinless one is still in the tomb. What hope do we sinners have if he's buried and that's the end of it? No hope. That's why Peter could say in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, we're going to take up this morning, or in this lesson today, and possibly tomorrow's, this wonderful fact of the resurrection of our Savior, the foundational fact of Christianity. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'd like to read the first few verses of chapter 16. When you come to chapter 16, dealing with the resurrection of our Savior, you have our Lord appearing to three different groups. He appeared to the women, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and he appeared to the 11 disciples. Now, if you want a fuller account of this, I would suggest, in reading through the resurrection of our Savior, take Matthew 28, that's the last chapter of Matthew, Luke chapter 24, that's the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, and then take chapters 20 and 21 of the Gospel through John. But I'd like to first of all notice these little sequences in the chapter, where the Lord met these different ones, and then I want to take up with you the import of what it all means. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, don't be scared. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. In fact, I would say, they trembled and were filled with ecstasy. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. I want you to mark this, first of all, the appearing unto the women. Mark the detail of it. They came very early in the morning, the first day of the week. I take it that they had gathered their spices together, and early in the morning they came to the sepulchre. And on the way, while they were coming to the sepulchre, they were discussing the question, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Here's a great big stone, possibly a foot thick and about 8 or 10 feet high, which is rolled in front of the sepulchre. And you remember in Matthew's gospel, it had been sealed. In fact, if you take the last of chapter 27 of the book of Matthew, you'll find where the Jews came to Jesus and said, that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Now you make the sepulchre sure. And Pilate said, you have a watch, seal it, make it as sure as you can. And I'm telling you, my friend, all men in hell were determined to keep the body of Jesus in the tomb. You keep this in mind. This one who was on the cross, crucified, been laid in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, a stone rolled in front of it, sealed, a watch set, a Roman guard set round the tomb. For the Jews had said, lest his disciples come by night and steal his body. You better take care of that. Keep that body in the tomb. And even though the disciples had forgotten the statement of our Savior, in John chapter 2, you remember, when he cleansed the temple the first time, the beginning of his ministry, he had said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. See, as you could say in John chapter 10, I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again. And here you have this amazing thing. All men in hell determined to keep Jesus in the tomb. And the women were talking about themselves. You can just see this thing as they were going on down to the sepulchre. Who's going to roll away the stone? How are we ever going to embalm his body? However can we do it? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And they entered into the sepulchre, and they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and they were scared. And he said to them, don't be scared. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where he lay. Let me just say in passing, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead before the stone was rolled away. The stone was not rolled away to let Christ out. The stone was rolled away to let you and me look in. It's empty. It's empty. You say to me, why, Mr. Mitchell, how in the world could he get out of that sepulchre with the stone sealed? My friend, when he was raised from the dead, he was raised with an incorruptible, immortal, glorified body. Unlimited. May I just digress for a second? One of these days, the trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised. And then we together with them are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air to be forever with the Lord. I'm quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It starts from verse 16 and 17 of that chapter. If the Lord should come right now, every believer, irrespective of where they are, every believer will be caught up in the twinkling of an eye and transformed from limited to unlimited, from corruptible to incorruptible. We're going to be changed. As Philippians 3, you remember, says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body. I tell you, friend, we can't begin to understand this whole situation. It comes by revelation through believing the Word of God. How did Jesus get out? He said, I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again. And watch the stone rolled, no matter how large it is, 10, 12 feet, and a foot thick, rolled in front of the sepulcher, sealing it, setting a watch. No, friend, the stone was not rolled away to let the Lord Jesus Christ out of that tomb. It was rolled away to let you look in, look for me to look in. He's no longer there. He's no longer there. Now let's look at it. They were affrighted when these women came and saw the stone rolled away, and they looked in. You see, Mr. Mitchell, did the angel roll away the stone? Well, I suppose so. Can one angel do that? Well, I'd remind you of 103rd Psalm, the angels who excel in strength. When I come back to Revelation, I find the angels hold back the very four winds of heaven, something that man can't even do yet with all his ingenuity, with all his electronic devices. He can't control the wind. He can't control nature. An angel rolled away the stone. It was sitting, clothed, inside the sepulchre. And notice what he said now in verse 6. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. Oh, I'm so glad they put that in there. As Luke 24 says, and the Lord is risen and hath appeared unto Simon also. Peter had to have a special meeting with the Savior. I'm not going to go into that except to point that out in this passage. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. And they were afraid. Now, just a word here. I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth. Notice the statement used, Jesus of Nazareth. He is risen. He's not here. He's risen. Behold the place where they laid him. And if they had gazed on the place where the Lord had laid, they would have seen that the grave clothes were absolutely undisturbed. So you have that in John chapter 20, verses 5 to 8. You have it in Luke 24, verse 12. The clothes weren't scattered. You know, there are some who claim that Jesus was in a kind of a unconscious condition. Then when he was put in the tomb, the coolness of the tomb, I'm quoting what they've said about him, that he was resuscitated. You know, how did he get out of the tomb with it sealed and the soldiers there? And believe me, my friend, the Romans made sure he was dead. And the Jews they made sure he was dead too. This idea of resuscitation is ridiculous. They made sure he was dead. He was buried, wrapped in grave clothes with all the spices that goes with it, done by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And when the women looked in, and afterwards when you see Peter and John looking in chapter 20 of John, you remember, when John saw it, he believed. The clothes, I say, were not scattered over the tomb. It was just that the body had left the clothes and the headpiece by itself. He was not there. He was not there. Come on, take a look. Behold the place where they laid him. And go your way and tell his disciples. Can I quote from Matthew 28? Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples. Come and see, and then go and tell. You come and see where the Lord lay. He's no longer there. Oh, we have a risen Christ. I tell you, my friend, that's why we keep the Lord's Day. It's the remembrance of a finished redemption, that death is a defeated foe. And that we have one who is on the throne today. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come with an open mind, with an open heart. See where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples. Now in verses 9 to 11, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard he was alive and had been seen of her, they just wouldn't believe it. They just wouldn't believe it. You've had a dream, Mary. You know, coming back to this question of these women, they saw him when he was crucified. They were standing afar off. They were the ones who came first to the sepulchre. Oftentimes think about this. Where are these men, these courageous men? No, they're not there. Women. And Mary Magdalene, the one who had been delivered by the Savior, a woman out of whom the Lord had cast seven demons, she stood there, and if you go back to John chapter 20, she stood there weeping, and an angel said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Then the Lord met her, and he asked the question, "Why are you weeping?" She said, "They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." And you remember Jesus said, "Mary," and nobody could say it just like him. And she swung round, she said, "Rabboni, Master, go and tell my disciples." You know, and she ran off and got a hold of Peter and John, and told me she'd seen the Lord. They went dashing back to the sepulchre. Well, I want to get to your heart. How much do you love the Savior? Do you know why I can't help when I read this chapters 15 and 16 of Mark and see how these women in verse 40 of 15 was looking afar off? Who was there? Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. These three women watching it. I tell you, my friend, they were the first, they were the last at the cross, they were the first at the empty tomb. And may I give you the message of the angels? Come. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Did you ever go to the empty tomb? I don't mean did you ever go to Jerusalem and see it. Look in your Word of God. Come, see the place where the Lord lays no longer there. And then what? Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He's going to meet them in Galilee. What was one of the final words that our Lord said to the disciples? Do you remember? In chapter 14 of Mark, in verse 27, 28, if I may refresh your memory on this, you remember, Tonight every one of you are going to be offended at me. It is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He had told them, before he went to the cross, after I'm risen, I'll go before you into Galilee. What's one of the first words the angel said? Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples, and Peter. He'll meet them where? Galilee. And then when Mary Magdalene saw the Lord, she went to the disciples, I've seen the Lord. They wouldn't believe it. It's hard for the human mind to realize this fact. I can appreciate their position. They'd been with their Lord, and all that he had taught them, all that he had done was forgotten in the moment of their sorrow. Their Savior had been crucified. The one in whom they expected to see set up a kingdom where righteousness shall reign. And behold, he's in a tomb. So the very first message that day was, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples he's meeting them. Same with Mary. My friends, have you seen him? Have you seen by the eye of faith this one who bore your sins and took them away, who satisfied the righteous character of God? That salvation is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As I said a while ago, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, we haven't anything.